Good morning. You can open your Bibles with me if you would like to Exodus chapter 1. Exodus 1, we're going to take a break from what we've been doing and take a look at moms today. Only right that we should. My mom passed away in 2007. I have the blessing of knowing her and having such a great experience, my brother and I both. We owe so much. Our classic, if you want to know what my mom was like, my mom was, you sit down at the dinner table, and there would be tea and Coke and milk to drink, and she would ask what you wanted to drink. And, of course, we would either say tea or Coke, you know, not milk. She said, well, you're having milk. That was my mother. Exodus chapter 1, we're going to be there in just a second. There was a hungry 15-year-old at the end of the day, come home from school and comes in the front door, and mom's not there to greet him. He's used to mom being there. Mom's staying home and met him there every day, and today she wasn't there. So he wandered away upstairs and called out, and sure enough, she was upstairs. He went into her bedroom. There she was in bed. He said, Mom, are you okay? You don't look good. And she said, well, sweetheart, I'm just not feeling good today. And so he thought for a minute. At the end of the day, he was hungry, and he said, Mom, don't worry about supper. He said, I'm big now, and I'll just carry you to the stove, he said. It's Mom's day, so carry her to the stove, okay? One stay-at-home mom of two was asked her occupation, gave a classic answer. She said, instead of just saying, I'm a stay-at-home mom, she said, quote, I am socializing two homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of society, social order, into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of all creation. Which is motherhood. It is. Godly motherhood is just that. Motherhood is so powerful because they are raising the leaders of society, and we underestimate the role, and we certainly don't praise it enough. I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about a very powerful mom, extremely powerful, and we find her story, like I said, here in the book of Exodus, and this is her name. Do you know her? How do you pronounce that name? Jochebed? I think we owe it on Mom's Day, this famous mom, this powerful mom, I think we owe it to her to pronounce her name correctly. So I'm going to give you a little lesson in Hebrew. One of the lessons in Hebrew is that there's no such thing as a J, which means Jehovah and Jesus are not pronounced that or even spelled that way, just for your information, not to mess up the whole thing. But her name especially is not pronounced Jochebed. It's pronounced, well, let me, first of all, let's replace the J with a Y. So the first part is yo. Can you repeat after me? Yo. The second syllable is k. Yo k. Yo k. And the last syllable is bed. Yo kebed. Yo hebed is the way you pronounce it in Hebrew. Yo hebed. She is definitely a famous mom. She was an excellent example of godly motherhood. The best thing we can do for parents, as parents for our children, is leave a godly example. Better than what we teach them. We all know they learn a lot more about what they see than what we tell them to do. We know that, right? We were the same way. So what do we need to do? We need to set in front of them a person who is doing their best to follow God. And that what I submit to you, that's the whole message that I'm going to tell you this morning, really. We need to set in front of our children, grandchildren, however, whoever, whatever kid we're influencing, we need to set in front of them a godly example. We can teach them whatever we want them to, and we should teach them. But the best thing to teach them is how we live. How are you living today, Mom, Dad, grandmother, grandfather? We're going to see an example of a woman by her own kids, how she lived. I want to consider, first of all, this morning, the legacy of this lady by the name of Jochebed. Her first child was a woman, a girl named Miriam. Miriam in the scriptures has the blessed title of being the first prophet, female prophet that you find in the scriptures. Now that's a legacy, isn't it? Her second child was a man by the name of Aaron. Aaron was the first high priest of Israel. He became the ancestor of all the high priests of Israel for 900 years. Now that's a legacy. Her youngest son was a guy by the name of Moses. Maybe you've heard of him. Moses is undoubtedly the most famous Jew that ever lived, aside from Jesus Christ, by far. Moses is credited with writing the first five books of your Bible. Moses is credited with hand chiseling the first operating, not the first, but the first operating set of Ten Commandments that were stored in the Ark of the Covenant. Now, he did a lot of other things, not the least of which was deliver Israel from Egypt. But talk about a legacy. This woman had a legacy. She had a famous legacy, and it was tough to be a mother in her day. Tough to be a parent. And we live in a day in which it's tough to be parents. I mean, we're upwardly mobile, technologically crazed. Society's becoming more and more evil, and we say it's tough to be parents. It is tough to be parents. I wish I had been parents in the days when my parents were raising me. In my opinion, it was much easier. I don't know. I was a kid back then. It's tougher. It's going to be tougher for my kids, I think, unless things change according to our society. But I will say this to us parents, grandparents. It hasn't just recently become tough. It's been tough in the past. In fact, it's been much harder in the past. I want you to consider just the situation for a second here of what Jochebed was in when she was raising her kids. First of all, she was born a slave, Jochebed. She was born a slave. Her and her people were, apart from their will, required to build storage cities for the Egyptians. She was her whole life a slave. Her parents had been slaves. She was a slave. She gave birth to slaves. And when she was pregnant with her youngest son, Moses, the Pharaoh had decided that there were too many Jews, according to him. And so he decided that every woman who gave birth to a male child, that male child would be thrown into the crocodile-infested Nile River. Look with chapter 1 in Exodus. Look at verse 22. It says, and Pharaoh commanded all his people, all the Egyptians, so they're to enforce this rule against the slaves that they own, the Jews. Every son who is born, that is to the Jews, you are to cast into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. This is the days that she became a mom. These are the days that she was a parent. I know it's tough today, but I'm telling you, I bet it isn't that tough. I bet she had it harder than we did, to be sure. You know, there's abortion advocates that say today that when situations are tough, it's better to abort the child than to bring them into a difficult situation. What if Jochebed had thought that way? What if she had? What would we be missing today if she had thought the same way that these advocates promote? And so we learn from her and from this, our first lesson. One of the first lessons about a godly, powerful motherhood, godly, powerful parenthood, is we must resist and counter the pressures of the world. It's very simple. We must resist and counter the pressures of the world. Do not cave to the pressures of the world. Our children desperately need us to be that way. Don't be like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't think like the world. Don't speak like the world. Don't go the places the world goes. Don't be like them. Be different. Find out what pleases the Lord, and then please Him. Very simple to say. Not as simple to do. But certainly simple to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we live by faith, not by sight. Is that true? I mean, it was true for Paul and the Corinthians. But listen, it's got to be true for us. Because if we do the opposite, we live by sight and not so much by faith, what happens? We cave. We give in. And the only example they're going to get of godliness is coming from us. It's either going to come from us or it's not going to come from us. And this is the only way we're going to be able to do it. Living by faith. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare. Don't cave. Whoever trusts the Lord is kept safe. You're going to be by yourself probably when you trust the Lord. You're going to walk alone sometimes. You're going to feel like the whole world's against you sometimes. And maybe it is. But do not cave. Don't give in. It's tough being who you are. I'm a parent. I'm graduating one here in a week and a half. I just had her pictures of prom on my iPad just a second ago. It's tough. It's not over. I mean, it's tough when they're home. It's tougher when they leave, right? Because then now you don't know where they are. You don't know what they're doing. And we just pray that God is has worked and has done through us what we possibly can. But parenthood is not over for us, and grandparenthood is coming for us someday. And so we have responsibilities and things we have to do. But if we fear man, it will be a snare. But if we trust the Lord, He will keep us safe. Got to decide as parents where we stand. Jochebed decided where she was going to stand in the face of complete opposition. Horrible circumstances. Like I said, abortion advocates would have said, she should have given that baby up. Well, she did in some ways. She had to. Second lesson that we learn from Jochebed is not to underestimate the plans God has for our kids. You think when she was holding baby Moses, she thought, you know, he'll chisel some stone someday. Maybe he'll lead the people out of Egypt someday. No, no one has that kind of vision. But it was her kid. God had given him to her. He had some kind of mission because God had done that, and so she decided that she was not going to cave in, that she was going to hold out, that God was going to provide. She trusted him, and she didn't fear man. Don't underestimate God's plans and what he can do through babies. You know, quite often in the scriptures, when God's people needed help, you know what he did? He sent them babies. They're struggling under horrible oppression. Praying to God in the book of Judges, what does God send them? He sends them a baby. They named him Samson. Again, at the end of the book of Judges, the beginning of 1 Samuel, people again are in horrible circumstances. They sin, they've fallen, and the Philistines are overthrowing them. And there was a woman who had not had a child, not been able to have a child, and she prays that God would deliver her and the nation. And so what does she get? A baby by the name of Samuel. Then at the end of the Old Testament, the beginning of the New, a couple way past their childbearing years, under the oppression of the Romans, thinking possibly God has forgotten all of his promises, God sends them what? A baby by the name of John the Baptist. He becomes the forerunner to another baby by the name of Jesus, born to a woman by the name of Mary in a stable, laying in a manger. God's answers quite often to the world are babies. Don't underestimate what God can do through children. Don't underestimate God's plans, the plans that he has for babies. God has a mission for your child. Raise them that way. You don't know what it is. But raise them because they're alive. God has given them to you. God has a purpose for this kid. Raise them in view of that mission. Believe that God is going to do what he wants to do through that child. By the way, Jochebed, you know how older kids were when they entered into their ministries? Miriam was 86, according to Jewish tradition. 86. She doesn't become a prophet until she's that age. Aaron, it says in the scriptures, was 84. Moses was 80. Where was Jochebed by the time her kids were in her 80s? Long dead. She was long dead. When we raise our kids like she did, when we raise our kids with a view to the mission that God has for them, you know what happens? The mission that God has through us into them outlives us. Smart. She comes out looking really good. She was super smart because she believed God for these things. If we'll simply believe and obey God, our mission through our children will definitely outlive us. So Jochebed has her baby, who's condemned from the day he's born. She hides him for 3 months, and then when there's nothing else that she can do, she literally puts him up for adoption. Look at chapter 2, verse 3. When she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. And then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds at the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. She put him up for adoption because she didn't have any other options. I wish those who abort could read stuff like this. I wish those who abort could simply look around at all those who would love to adopt, love to have these kids, love to raise them. They could just simply look and see there's a purpose. Stop just thinking about yourself. Think about this child. Well, she did. And so she did all she could. And, of course, God came through, which takes us to our next and final lesson. Powerful motherhood parenthood means we cannot fear. We must have faith. We cannot fear. We must have faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Commentary on the way that she and her husband raised their kids. By faith, it says, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw that he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Well, that's a lot to say there. Because believe me, they were a people who had every reason to fear this king. He had total power over them. Total control. He was killing their kids by the thousands. Yeah, they were not afraid of him. You get caught with a child in the middle of this and you're forfeiting not only, I mean, think about their reasoning. They could have said, we already have two kids. Why possibly put them in jeopardy and our lives in jeopardy for the sake of this one child, Moses? If we get rid of him, no problem. We still have our happy little family. We've handled the situation. We've taken our hands. But notice, they did not fear the king's edict. They just simply had faith. They didn't know what the plan was, but they knew that God had a plan, and they trusted him. And part of that plan was quite unusual. They took a waterproof basket and put it in a river. Now, where do you read that in children's books, right? In parenting books? It's not in there. Because the answers are not in there. The answers are in this book. These are where the answers are. This is the book that tells us how to raise kids. This is the book that tells us, even though we might not have the direct answer in here, it tells us to trust God, to believe God. Jochebed did that. She did that. She didn't even have this book. I mean, it was the son that she was raising that would write the first five books. She didn't even have this. But she knew who God was, and she trusted him. No reason for us to even think she could have read it if she had had one. She was a slave. Have faith that God has a way for you as a parent. Have faith that God has a way for you as a grandparent. Think of it just very simply, and I'm a simple thinker, and that's just because if I think any way other way, it messes me up. Very simple thought. God has given me this child. God has made me his or her parent. God has a way. Simple reasoning. If he has not given you the child, then all bets are off. But since he has, and since I'm its parent, then God has a way. God has a way. It may be difficult circumstances. It may be difficult situation. The child himself or herself may be difficult, but God has a way. God has given us these children. It is a trust. We've been talking about that for a while. We are managers of the things that don't belong to us. This Monopoly game that we call a life, all the puzzle pieces and all the things that belong in it are all going to be rounded up at the end, including our children. We lose everything. So it's a trust that God has given to us, and in the middle of that trust, we have to trust. We have to trust. Proverbs chapter 3 reminds us of that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Her own understanding would have said, get rid of the kid. That's what they do today. Get rid of the kid. But she didn't do that. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. How straight did he make the path of Jochebed? Do you remember the end of the story? What happened there? Look at chapter 2. Look at verse 5. So Miriam is down by the water, watching the basket that Moses has been put up for adoption in, if you will. He just happens to float coincidentally down near where the daughter of Pharaoh is washing. It says, then the daughter of Pharaoh came to bathe, verse 5, at the Nile. And her maidens walking alongside the Nile, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And the Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him, and he grew up and was brought to Pharaoh's daughter. So she does all she can. She trusts God, not men. She doesn't fear anything. She raises him with a mission. She believes everything. When all her options are out, she sticks him in a waterproof basket, puts him up for adoption, believing that God has a way since God had given this child to her. And what does God do for her? She winds up raising her own kid and getting paid to do it. Heck of a deal. That's what happens. That's what happens. That's why it says things like this. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Like I said, you don't find this in any parenting books. Because there is no parenting book to write that says, trust God. You just trust him. God has a way. God will come through. God knows what he's doing. We live in a day in which it's hard to raise kids. Super hard. I don't expect it to get any less. It's going to get even harder. People say, well, we shouldn't even have kids. No. That's not trusting God. God gives you a child. Raise them. Raise them. Don't be with the culture. Counter the culture. Raise them with a view to a mission that God has given and God has called them to. And believe that God has a way. He's got a way. He's got a way for our kids. It's a tough world they live in. But he's got a way for them if they have godly parents. If they have godly grandparents. God's got a way. So let's trust him today. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Maybe you're a parent, maybe you're not. Doesn't matter. I do know this. You do have influence. We have influence over younger people. Some of us have a lot of influence over a lot of young people. Those kids are looking to us, not just for teaching, not just for someone who can make good decisions. They're looking to us to have a godly example, someone who they can look to and say, that person lives for the Lord. That person trusts the Lord. That person fears God and nothing else. We need to be that kind of people today. God, I thank you. I thank you for this woman, Yocheved. I thank you, God, for her her godly example. How blessed was the nation of Israel because she was determined to do what was right. How blessed are we? Because these children that she raised have wound up to bless the entire world in very special ways. Thank you for her, God. Thank you for the institution of motherhood. God, thank you for my own mom. Her sacrifices, her determination, her example, just like Yocheved, to live a godly life, to not cave in to the world, to believe that God had a way, and you did have a way. Thank you, God. Thank you for working in my life the way you have through her. Thank you for our moms and for how they have done their job for us. Many of us, the reason why we're sitting here is because moms were there. Help us, Lord, to be those kind of influencers, those kind of parents, grandparents, influencers of people that are around us. We pray. Amen.